Welcome to Mac Voices number 504. We're the talk of the Macintosh User Group community, and I'm Chuck Joyner, your host. This week, the talk of the Macintosh community was not necessarily in the United States or even in North America, but elsewhere in the world. Earlier this week, the iTunes Music Store launched in Australia, and we have Nicholas Pyers with us to talk about that launch, the reaction of Australian Mac users, and some surprising observations from Nick on the availability of the iTunes gift cards. The other exciting thing happening in the Macintosh world this week is Mac Expo in London, and we're happy to have our UK correspondent, Benjamin Stanley from the Midlands Macintosh User Group, back with us to report on the first day of Mac Expo, talk about who's exhibiting and who isn't, what he thought was cool with the show, and why there seemed to be a lot of PCs present. I think you'll really enjoy hearing from two Mac users in two different parts of the world talking about events in the Macintosh space that we normally might not consider. Joining us now on Mac Voices is our friend from Australia and an active member of the Australian user group community, Nicholas Pyers. Nick, welcome to Mac Voices for the very first time.
Thanks for having me, Chuck.
Nick, you've been busy. I've had a number of postings up about your activities on the Mug Center. You're out doing presentations to user groups and out doing presentations to really the general public as well. And now you've kind of gone legit and gotten a job with Macworld Magazine in Australia.
That I have. It's not a full-time job. It's a couple of hours a month, but it's initially listing all the user groups that are here in Australia. And that's been an interesting exercise to see who's still around and who's not. And then after that, starting with the February issue next year, we're going to be listing all the meetings that the user groups in Australia are going to be having for that particular month.
That's great. So you've been able to get kind of in the door and give user groups in your region some visibility.
Yeah. Matthew Powell, the editor of Australian Macworld, has always been a big supporter of user groups and has always looked at different ways of helping them out. And this is something that we discussed for a little while via email, and something's come of it, and we'll make a go of it. And, yeah, it should increase the profile of all user groups around the country, whether they're the big ones or whether they've just got a couple of members.
Well, that's terrific, and we would encourage all our listeners that have access to the Australian version of Macworld to run right out, see Nick's column, and give feedback, especially to the publisher, and let them know that it's an important part of the magazine, an important addition. That's the way that things happen, is if the publishers know that it's important to the readers, they'll pay a lot more attention to it.
I agree with that. The first one will be in December, and then there's no January issue. And then we have the February issue.
Nick, as we're talking, the iTunes Music Store for Australia has just been released, and we were anxious to get your thoughts on it, how you think it has come out, what kind of reaction it's getting in your country, and in your region of the world, really, and what the implications are for Mac users and Mac User Group users now that they have this access to this resource that a lot of us have enjoyed for some time now.
Well, I must admit, I'm very excited that it's finally here. Been waiting for, you guys have had it for 2.5 years, I think, and then Europe got it and more of Europe got it, and we've just been waiting and waiting and waiting for it. But it's finally here, and it's great. I signed up yesterday morning. I went out and bought a prepaid card, keyed all the details in, and went out and bought an album I've been wanting to buy for a while, deliberately holding off not buying it on CD, hoping for the store to arrive, and then bought myself a couple of singles. And it's just so simple, and I think it's going to change the way that we actually buy music in this country. I've watched with interest the different slides that Apple puts out saying how many songs have been sold over different periods of times and in different regions, and I'll be interested to see how long it takes to hit the million track mark here in Australia, considering we've only got 20 million people living here. But I think we'll hit it sooner rather than later.
it's not easy for us sitting in the United States or other parts of the world to see or get access to other versions of the iTunes Music Store. With the announcement of the iPod with video, is the Australian iTunes Music Store offering video of any kind?
It is. There's 1,000 music videos compared to the 2,000 you've got in the US. And we've got the 6 Pixar movies, but we don't have the television shows yet. But there are rumors that the networks here are preparing local content to make that available to us in the new year. So we can just wait with eager anticipation. But I think overall, the TV show thing is going to increase both in the US and launched around the world, and a lot of people will take benefit of it. I've actually got a colleague who has a US billing address, so he's actually downloaded a couple of episodes just to have a look at, and I was fortunate enough to be able to see them the other night, and the quality is stunning, whether it's on the video iPod, even though it's not called a video iPod, or on your computer. The quality is quite acceptable.
Nick, how about the podcast listings? Are they included in the Australian version?
Yes, we have exactly the same listings that you have in the US. The only thing that they do is they highlight some of the Australian ones on the front page more than some of the other ones. Our national broadcaster, the ABC, has its own podcast, and there's a couple of radio stations here. So there's those sorts of things that are covered, and there's a few generic Australian ones that are here. They're available on the US and all the other stores as well. It's just that they get a higher focus here than they do elsewhere.
I'm looking at it, of course, from the United States perspective. Do you have a sense, are there local artists there or artists that are maybe popular in Australia that are not known in other parts of the world that are getting better coverage on the music section? I know we've talked about this with Brian Chaffin of the Mac Observer, that not everything is available in every iTunes Music Store because of the licensing from the record companies. Do you see any evidence of things that you want but aren't there, or maybe some things that are there that probably aren't in other parts of the world?
I'm sort of the wrong person to ask. I'm stuck in the 80s for music. Like, let's put it this way. The album I bought was the Spanish version of an ABBA album, and the 2 singles I bought were also ABBA singles. But there is music that's missing that's from local artists. We have a show here called Australian Idol, which I think is based on the US version of it. The last 2 winners have signed up with Sony BMG, and Sony BMG haven't come live in Australia yet on the iTunes Music Store. So they're missing, and there's a couple of other big names over here. I don't know if you know Delta Goodrum. There's a few others that whose names elude me at the moment, but there's a few that are missing. But we do have a lot of Australian content that's from Australian artists that they're featuring quite heavily up there now.
Well, it's terrific to see some of these resources finally roll out to the rest of the world. I know it's got to be frustrating when you see it come out in one part of the world, just like we see certain things come out probably in Japan, certain electronics that then migrate to the United States, and you're anxious to get your hands on them as soon as you can. So I'm glad that you all now and all the Mac users in Australia can share in what we've been enjoying for so long.
The interesting thing now will be to see how the New Zealanders cope. New Zealand's not exactly, well, they're a separate country, but a lot of people think that they're part of Australia, but they're not. So I think they're going to be the next ones who are going to be saying, we want an iTunes Music Store. Although there are, people have been discussing on forums ways around that, but they also have a lot of their own artists over there. One of the songs used in one of the iPod ads was actually a New Zealand artist who was trying to get more recognition worldwide. Once they picked up that particular song, they did very, very well. So hopefully they'll be next in line to get it. But no, for us here in Australia, it's great to finally have it.
Nick, what else is happening in Australia from the Apple and Macintosh perspective, user group perspective, or maybe just general Mac user perspective? Anything interesting, any trends that you're seeing that we might not be aware of or that are being set there and not in other parts of the world?
Not at the moment, I don't think. With all the announcements that have come out of Apple over the last couple of weeks, there's been a lot more press coverage here than we've had in the past. The things like the new iMac, the iPod that plays video, the Nano, they've all received a lot of good, positive coverage. The iTunes Music Store actually made the primetime news services here. We're a little unusual in this country. We have news services starting from 4:30 in the afternoon through to 7 o'clock at night, and they're all considered primetime news services, and I believe 3 out of the 5 actually covered us as a fairly major story last night. So there's a lot more coverage that we've been getting previously. With the iTunes Music Store prepaid cards too, the largest retail chain here, Coles Myer, are the ones who have got the exclusive rights to sell the prepaid cards until March of next year. So they're fairly high profile. I went out yesterday down to my local shopping mall, which we call shopping centres over here, but the signage was up already and was able to buy one at 11 o'clock in the morning. So that was great to see, and they're taking it very much on board. So it will be a good way of increasing the profile even more.
I know here we often look at the popular media and discuss the prevalence of Macintoshes and iPods. And it's interesting to hear you say that it's noteworthy that it is showing up on the news and in the major sales channels, that now it's making it more accessible to people than ever before.
I agree wholeheartedly with that. It's nice to say after so many years.
Well, Nick, I know you're doing some relocating and some things, but we hope to hear back from you real soon with your next user group appearances and your next general appearances. Please, I hope you'll come back and see us on a regular basis and let us know what's going on in Australia.
No, I'd be more than happy to do it. So look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Folks, we've been talking to Nicholas Pyers of the Australian Macintosh User Group community about his reaction and the Australian reaction to the new iTunes Music Store. Nick, it's a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Mac Expo is in London this week, and as promised, we have our London correspondent back with us, Benjamin Stanley from the Midland Macintosh User Group in the UK. Ben, welcome back to Mac Voices. It's great to have you.
Hi there, Chuck. It's great to be on again. Well, on Mac Voices this time.
That's true. You were on the User Group Report before, but we've morphed over into Mac Voices, and we're happy that you came with us.
It's been a pleasant transition.
Ben, tell us about Mac Expo. Obviously, everyone here is interested in what's happening over there. You were kind enough to report back from the Apple Expo in Paris. So what can you tell us about Mac Expo in London and what you saw?
Right, okay. Mac Expo in London, it's a slightly different thing, really, from Paris. It's organized differently. It's not really, I don't think, Apple-led as such. It's organized by the independent exhibitor. But, of course, they still have Apple there and the main other exhibitors there, like Adobe and Quark and so on. But there was sort of more of a collection of different people there. It's an odd show because it's not quite a consumer show, but it's also not quite a trade show. So they sort of had a bit of both, really. On the one hand, you've got the stall selling the cheap bits and pieces, you know, like memory for £38 and hard drives for 20% off normal prices, which is great to see. And then you've also got the other guys at the other end of the thing selling their ERP, CRM, WAN, and account solutions to big businesses. So it's a strange mix, really, of different people at the show, but also much smaller than Paris, probably about a third the size of the Apple Expo in Paris, which. Already, I think, and our last thing I said was quite. I felt that it was quite small. So small in terms comparisons with the American shows, but still interesting. Still a wide variety of people there.
It surprises me to hear you say that there were the stands selling things at a discount. That's something that seems to have disappeared from so many of the United States trade shows. Those opportunities for good deals.
Oh, very much so. I mean. Mac Expo in London had a sort of a strange history, really. It only sort of came back into being a couple of years ago. Before then, it actually had a sort of a hiatus period of, I think it was 2 or 3 years maybe, where there was actually no London show. I think Apple really pulled out of the UK presenting or show sort of arena that they were in. But it seems to have come back with a sort of an interesting twist to the whole thing. I mean, we've always really had the sort of the bargain basement, if you like, stands at the shows. Last year, I don't think there were probably as many good bargains to have, but this year there were certainly a few good deals to be had, and plenty of stock on the resellers as well. So that was good on them, really, rather than just they tend to lead you in, don't they, with a buy some memory at this price, and then when you get there, they haven't got any left. But they were well stocked and ready to serve you, which is good.
Ben, which of the major Mac players were there, and what kind of presence did they have at Mac Expo?
Everybody was there. We had Adobe there, we had Quark there, we had Apple, obviously, themselves. We had Bose were there. You'll see on some of the pictures there were some of the sort of crumpler bag people were there. Macworld were there, Macworld magazine in the UK, Mac User magazine in the UK, Mac Format magazine in the UK, Macromedia were there. We have a big distributor in the country called Computers Unlimited, and they resell quite a lot of the creative software for the Mac. And their stand actually had sort of lots of little showcases around it for all sorts of bits of products that they distribute. But in a way, I mean, they're probably the largest, I think, UK distributor of creative and utility software for the Mac, so they were there. Apple, obviously, were there. I said those already. Computer Warehouse were there. The big sort of players in the UK market were there, resellers and stuff. So it was good to see.
Well, that sounds like an awfully nice representation from the major side. How about the what we talked about with Apple Expo in Paris, the small stands off to the side where the cool things are always are?
Yeah, very much so. Amongst the small stands, there were quite a good sort of smattering of different things you could go and see. Because the show has a smaller feel to it, even though small stands actually feel quite big. And one of the nice things to see was Atlas Software were there, who've produced a wonderful bit of software called SketchUp. And they actually had quite a large stand by comparison to some of the smaller ones around the edges. The way they organise the show, and I suppose they do this similar in larger shows in the States, is they have sort of segments to it. So you had like a business area, you had a photo and digital imaging area, you had a games area, you had a music area, a design and publishing area. And in those little areas, you had smaller distributors or smaller software houses that produce their own little things. And also smaller resellers selling stuff as well. There was a camera stall there. I can't remember the name of the company they were, but they had lots of cheap Canon camera deals on their stand at the time. There wasn't so much of the independent developers on the stands. There seemed to be a couple of smaller resellers in there. So the guys, one company did do their own sort of technical support. I think it's called Mac Support or Mac Help. And they were just up from the user group stand, and they had their own little store there selling their sort of support packages and things. But there didn't seem to be as many there were at Paris of the independent developers, the guys who've made the software themselves, who were there showing it and selling their own product, if you like.
And you passed right over the next topic. Earlier in the week, we talked to Michael Corgan, one of the organizers of the user group stand at Mac Expo. What can you tell us about the crowds that was drawing, and what kind of response were the user group people there getting?
It was very good. When I arrived at the show, the way the stand worked is that people around the UK from the Mac user groups were donating a couple of hours of their time to come on and man the stand, if you like. So it didn't obviously rely on one person or a couple of people having to be there for the whole 3 days. It was quite nice to have people to be sharing that role out. When I got to the show, it was about 45 minutes or so before I was due to go onto the stand to help, and I went over just to say hello and find out where it was. And there was actually too many people in front of the stand for me to get to it. Really very nice to see. And by about 3 o'clock, we'd gathered at least 100, if not a few more, names of people who wanted to join a user group. The way they were running it this year, we had a leaflet that we could hand out, but if people were more interested than that, then they could actually write their names down and we could put them in touch with the user group that they were closest to. So, I mean, that's a potential 100 new members within the space of maybe 4 hours of the show being run or a few hours of the show being open, which is really good news for UK user groups. And hopefully it'll carry on over the next couple of days.
It sounds from what Michael said and then what you're describing that the UK user groups are organizing themselves quite a bit. They are helping each other as well as helping themselves, and that always makes for a lot of exciting opportunities.
Oh, very much so, yes. I mean, it's been really sort of been led by the London and the Oxford user groups, who've put together things like the promotional material and obviously organised the booking of the stand and the way that's also all been organised. And all credit to them for putting that together and being open enough and friendly enough to allow other user groups to take part in that. I was on the stand today with a couple of guys from Yorkshire Mac User Group, A couple of guys had come down from, obviously from the London News Group. There's a couple of guys there from the Sussex News Group, one from Blackburn Forest News Group. It was really nice to see Bracknell Forest. It was really nice to see a good collection of people from all across the UK. And certainly it was interesting as well, the people we stopped and said, are you a member of a user group, would you like to join a user group? They were also quite representative from the areas as well. So it's attracting a lot of new people from around the place. A lot of people, surprisingly, aren't aware of what user groups actually do and what the function is there for. So you say to them, do you know if you've got a Mac user group nearby you? And they said, what's a Mac user group? What does that do? How does it work? And is it free? And do I have to pay? And lots of interesting questions coming from people. People obviously need help and advice with things, and I think lots of people did see a lifeline in the user groups, which is good stuff, really.
And people don't ask those questions if they really don't have a genuine interest. They look to get away from you as quickly as possible if they're not interested.
Yeah, very much so. We're quite lucky, actually, with where the stand is this year. It's on the map, it looks like it's out of the way in the corner of the place, but it actually isn't. It's nearby one of the sort of main sort of thoroughfares through from the one of the eating places. There's a pizza place next to it, and also where the stairs are up to the upper floor where Macworld magazine are running their conferences. So you did get quite a lot of football coming past the stand, which was really good to see, and nice that people generally did have the time to stop and have a chat to you about stuff. And a few people came up to us at the show with their sort of problems with their Macs. Somebody wanted to know about whether they should buy an Airport Extreme or an Airport Express. And it was good to have a whole collection of people. I think there were about six of us on the stand who were able to come straight back with different answers and advise and guide them in different ways.
Yeah, and that's the great thing about asking Mac people those kind of questions, because you do get a lot of different answers, but they all come from different perspectives. Sooner or later, you'll hit the one that the people really need to have.
Exactly, yeah. And, of course, everybody uses things slightly differently, so you're never going to find someone, I don't think, who's using exactly the same thing in exactly the same way. So it's good for people to understand that you can be a bit more creative. It's not just a matter of plugging something in and it's there and, does what it says on the box. You can also try doing this with it or try doing this with it. And lots of people have got different ideas about how you can work things.
Ben, did you see any product announcements at the show that specifically grabbed your attention?
I suppose in a way that the show left me when we came out. Actually, I thought, well, what was there? Why did we go today? What was the journey all about? I was actually quite lucky because I was with a friend of mine who's a switcher, a recent switcher from the world of Windows, and he said to me, it seemed that without Apple and a couple of the resellers, it could have been a PC show or a Windows show. What actually made it an Apple show, And for him, it was really being able to see things like the new iMacs and the new video iPods, because we hadn't had a chance to do those. But it was a really quite strange show, really. It didn't sort of have an identity or a path to follow yet. But maybe that's because it's a young show again. They've only recently sort of started up, as I say, in the last 2 years or so. So it needs to, I think, find its way a bit further. But having said that, there were a couple of very interesting things at the show. I'll give you a funny one. There's a company called PWX. I'm not sure what it stands for, but they produce a thing that they call the Post-it Ball, which is basically a couple of balls that fit to the bottom of your PowerBook at the back edge of it, which just raise it off the table slightly. And they were about £6, which I think is about $10. And they're, of course, in all sorts of interest. And lots of people were wandering around with these little bags with this little plastic ball in. You think, what's going on here? And it was quite funny to see. It's just simply just a plastic ball that's cut in half with a sticky back to each of the halves of it. And it looks like two little feet on it. And then when you want to take your PowerBook away, you just unhook these feet off the bottom and you're off. And it's got odd little looking things there, which was fun to see. But another nice bit of software was a thing called WebStractor, which comes from Soft Chaos Software. And obviously American group, but WebStractor is fascinating. It's a sort of a web research and they call it a productivity solution. And it's really all about capturing web pages that you visit and being able to turn those into sort of deliverable papers or deliverable documents from that. So rather than just printing out a web page, you can actually make it look a lot nicer. Did all sorts of very clever things like tracking changes to the web documents and automatically updating your saved files and stuff. Well worth having a look at that at softchaos.com and go and have a look at WebStractor. Fascinating bit of software and surprisingly affordable. The guy gave me a demo, and I thought this is going to be, you know, £200 or £300 or whatever, and it ended up being £60, which is about $100, isn't it? So well worth having a look at that.
How about any disappointments? That's always a tough question to ask, but was there anything you were specifically looking for that wasn't there? And especially given the fact, as you said, that it's a young show.
It is a hard question, really. I expected maybe to see more sort of Mac integration stuff. There's a lot being sort of made of this at the moment, and they're plugging your iPod into your car and things like Apple's, you know, recent release of Front Row. I was expecting to see more people who'd got their Mac Minis hooked up to television sets or interesting ways of doing things like multi-room audio with your Mac and stuff. And there didn't seem to be any sort of focus on that. And I think if the show does become more consumer-led, then maybe that's the sort of thing we'll see appearing. It'd be nice maybe to see a couple of sort of living room layouts or possible layouts of stuff, so where the Mac's becoming more of a lifestyle device rather than just a computer still. And maybe splitting the show so that you do have a sort of a consumer side and a trade side, so that you do sort of keep the big boys away from the sort of the kids who are wanting to get and play with stuff, you know, and also the people who are coming to do the trade thing, so them to be able to go and get some serious business done without being interrupted by the garage band crew, you know, in the corner. There weren't really any sort of major disappointments to it. I would have liked to maybe have seen a bit less PC equipment there. It was quite surprising on the Sony stand. They had they didn't have a Mac on display, but they had a monitor on display which had something Mac running on it. But the rest of the stand was covered in the Sony Bio stuff and the sort of PC accessories that they do. And that was a bit weird to see. You're thinking, why are they showing this here at the Mac show, you know? So I think I would have liked to see more Mac integration. I think would have been a good thing to see.
Well, for a show that's just getting back on its feet or being revived, it sounds like with the list of the major exhibitors you outlined, that's better than many of the regional shows that are here in the United States or even some of the larger ones. So it's...
It wasn't a bad show, no. The switcher who came down with me said, you know, it's cost him about £50 today, so which is about $70, isn't it? So it's been a day out for him, but he's not sure whether he would bother going to it again unless he was aware that there was some other bigger focus to it, or there was some sort of shift in the way it was sort of presented. So I guess he felt left a bit sort of bit disappointed at the end of the day. We cheered him up by going to the Apple Store on Regent Street, which was a great thing to go and do. If anybody ever goes to London, you've got to go to the Apple Store in Regent Street because it's a huge store. It really is, and packed full of people. So that cheered him up for the journey back on the train. And there were some things. I mean, there were I mentioned some audio sort of streaming stuff. Again, Computers Unlimited on their stand were showing the Roku device and the Sono device. And that was interesting to see. But again, not entirely Mac related. You know, they could have been any show really. They could have been a PC show or a home automation show or a house building show. They didn't really sort of make it Mac based. So a bit odd really.
Well, Ben is not only consented to be our correspondent, he's also our photographer, and if you look in our show notes, you will see links to some photos that Ben sent us of Mac Expo so that you can feel like you were there, even if you couldn't make it to London and participate. Ben, thank you very much for that. I know the listeners are going to get a kick out of that because it's always fun to see the different shows and the different complexions that they take no matter what continent they're held on.
Oh, yeah, very much so. And I guess you think maybe any show, sort of a Mac show, any it's going to be the same everywhere, isn't it? But I mean, yeah, they do slightly have their differences in things. It'd be interesting to see what people think of the pictures as well, because there's some odd things in there. There's a couple of pictures of the user group stand as well, which the guys will be pleased about from there.
Ben, is there any chance we might see you for Macworld San Francisco?
Well, I'm considering the journey over. Yes, I sat down the other night and priced up the flights and the hotels, taking into account, obviously, the Mug Center special hotel rate. I think it would be a nice journey to make. I'm not too sure how many nights we'd come over and stay for, but I would like to come to San Francisco. It's a great city. We visited a few years back, and it'd be good to come back, I think.
Well, if you come, we will definitely have you back on, even though you will no longer be a remote correspondent. We'll be able to do it in the same room to contrast and compare all the shows that you've been to this year.
That would be fantastic, yes. That would be good fun.
Ben, thank you for everything you've done for both Avo Expo and Mac Expo. We really appreciate getting the perspective from the UK. We do hope to see you in San Francisco. And we hope the listeners will take a look at the pictures. Go back to the User Group Report page on the Mug Center, and you can listen to what Ben had to tell us about Avo Expo in Paris. And Benjamin Stanley from the Midland Macintosh User Group in the UK, thanks so much. We really do hope to see you in San Francisco.
Thanks very much, Chuck. I truly enjoy it.
I want to be sure to remind you to visit our website, macvoices.com, where you can see the show notes for each episode, as well as subscribe to our podcast, either in the iTunes Music Store or in your favorite podcatcher via our RSS newsfeed. I also want to remind you that feedback on all things Macintosh is always welcome at chuck@macvoices.com. Or, if you're feeling brave, give me a call at our talkback line at 206-350-1371 and let me hear from you. We've already had feedback from all over the United States, Europe, and now we're hoping for some from our friends in Australia. But no matter where you are, I'd love to hear from you with your comments, criticisms, and suggestions to make the Mac Voices better. Finally, if you're planning on coming to San Francisco for Macworld Conference and Expo in January, I want to encourage you to take a look at the special Mug Center Macworld Hotel deal that we've put together with the Park 55 and some outstanding sponsors of Macintosh user groups, Circus Ponies, O'Reilly, Amuse, Tropical Software, Mesa Dynamics, and St. Clair Software. The rate at the Park 55 is $159 a night, and that includes high-speed internet connectivity as well as 10% off dining in any of the hotel's restaurants. The real trick here is if you're going to spend more than just a couple days at Expo. Stay 9 days and you get $150 off your final bill. Stay 8 days and take $100 off your final bill, and if you're only staying for 7 days, you still get $50 off your bill. On top of that, each reservation receives one free copy of Serene Saver from Amuse, one free license to Circus Ponies Notebook 2.0, a copy of Ticker Shock from Mesa Dynamics, one free book from the O'Reilly booth on the show floor, and one free license to Top X Notes from Tropical Software. Our room block is limited, so if you're interested in taking advantage of this, please drop me an email as soon as you can to chuck@macvoices.com, and I'll send you back all the information that's necessary. You're not able to access this deal directly through the hotel. You need to email me to get the details and to take advantage of it, and I sincerely hope that you will do so and join the Mug Center, the Mac Voices crew, and lots of our friends at the Park 55 for a terrific Macworld Expo week in January. I'm Chuck Joyner, and I want to thank you for listening. I'll be back again soon with another edition of Mac Voices, the talk of the Macintosh community.